Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Sky Blaze.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sky Blaze, and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Last week, I was recovering from a migraine, so I had my husband Greyforce sub in for me. I think he did a pretty good job, all things considered, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. So this week, we're going to be talking about the Dreamcast, one of the most underrated consoles ever. And it's a console that has sparked quite a debate with listeners of Radio Sega regarding the colour of the swirl on top and whether or not it should be orange or blue. However, how about a console of how about a debate over which version of the console, which interesting new variant, is the best looking? Because apart from the standard white colour, there have been quite a number of other special versions brought out, which in some cases would cause you to spend more time admiring it than actually playing it. For example, the first version that I'm going to be covering today is the limited edition Maziora Dreamcast. This is brought out as part of a partnership with Maziora, which is a special paint manufacturer that makes pearlescent paint. So as you'd expect, the case has a black bottom half and the top is coated with pearlescent paint. And it came with a matching pearlescent controller as well. And a helmet keychain for reasons that I'll go into in a bit. The pearlescent paint appears at different colours depending on what kind of light it's in, like certain kinds of nail polish, if you're into that sort of thing. So in some lights it can appear purple, and in other lights it looks like it's green. It is an incredibly beautiful console. I recommend taking a look. I'm going to post Dreamcast Maziora Google search into the chat. So if you click on the image link, you'll have a look. Or if you're listening on Twitter or whatever, then yeah, go ahead and take a look on the images file, because wow, it's a stunning piece. Unfortunately, this thing is quite rare. There was a Maziora logo sticker on the lid, and the box is orange, as you'd expect for a Japanese variant. To get their hands on one of these, you had two ways that you could get one. The first was ordering online. Even though these were fairly early days of the internet, that sort of thing was fairly reasonably well established in Japan already. The second required you winning it at a racing event, and that version came with the signature of Tadahiko Taira, who was a motorcycle racer for Taira Racing, who was being sponsored by Maziora, hence the helmet keychain and the connection. However, if you want to get hold of one now, the only version I could find on eBay was costing, are you ready for this? 2,500 euros. Yeah, 2,500 euros. That is an astonishing amount of money. So Electro Boogaloo is saying that their favourite variant is the Dreamcast Sports Black console, which is quite attractive and is not subject to the problem that a lot of Dreamcasts suffer from, where they go yellow under UV light. And Green Viper is, Scream Viper at the moment, is saying Hello Kitty is best, we've answered this and there's no room for debate. Ah, but which version of the Hello Kitty console? Ha ha ha! I will be getting into this in a bit. Eclipse is saying last week's Hidden Palace was great, so yeah, props to Grey4 for that one, if he's listening. I think he's currently playing a Batman game. He's got his thumbs up. Okay. Well, let's have some music then. Because we're talking, it's got a racing connection, so we've got from Daytona USA 2001, which was the version on the Dreamcast, we've got King of Speed race theme, and then a request from Electric Boogaloo, we've got Climax Lander's Marion's theme. So listen to those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the musical break.
Holy best Sega music, live shows, and the chance to request your favourites. This is RadioSega.net. Sega!
That was from Time Stalkers, aka Climax Landers, Marion's Theme, which was requested by Electric Boogaloo, and before that, Daytona USA 2001, The King of Speed. Yeah, I really love the Daytona tracks. I don't know why. They just appeal to me. So, next up, we have the Dreamcast Tsuteya Retail Unit. Now, this was created in an effort to increase the popularity of the Dreamcast. Sega decided that they would experiment with renting out the console as well as selling it, in the same sort of model to game rental. Renting consoles was something that had already been done in the USA, but not so much in Japan. So an arrangement was made with Tsuteya department stores, and they had rental units offered in around 800 of their stores. This came in a hard case with cushioned insides, where the Dreamcast would sit, along with two controllers, all of the cables, and a quick start guide to help you get connected, along with two demo discs, one of which was called What's Shenmue. This demo has two parts to it. One has you looking at models of the characters from Shenmue. The second part has you playing as Ryo as he undertakes an important mission, locating Hidekazu Yukawa, the ambassador of the Dreamcast. What? Ambassador of the Dreamcast? Is this like the Dreamcast version of Sekata Sanshiro? Alright. Now sadly there is a downside for this version, which there are modifications which reduce your available controller ports to only two, and the controllers can only take one additional unit, so you can either have a VMU or a Rumble Pack, not both. At the time, you could rent one of these for around 400 yen, which is the equivalent of 232. This is back in the year 2000, and the 400 yen would let you have the console for a week. £2.32 to rent a console for a week is actually a really good deal. However, if you fail to return it in time, there would be fines, just like a library book or renting a game or video. Electric Boogaloo's put up a picture of Yukawa. Yeah, he just looks like a Japanese businessman. Dreamcast ambassador. Okay. That is far more boring than I expected. And Eclipse is posting a picture of a bright pink PS2. That is not a pleasant colour. And it goes really badly with all the black DualShock sticks. That's wow, that's bad. And Brick Ghoul is saying the Kupberg pink Game Boy Micros. That is a really shocking electric pink as well. Electric Boogaloo's also put up a video of Let's Meet Mr. Sega. So there is a video explaining what the deal is with this guy. And Owen's saying I have a pink DS and a pink Game Boy Advance SP. Yeah, the pink seems to be less offensive on a mini console, on a handheld, than it does on a full-size one. Although the Hello Kitty pink ones are not as offensive, mostly because of the semi-transparent quality. I am not a fan of pink. My favourite colour is purple, but I'm not a pink fan. Possibly because I grew up in the 80s where it was like the law that you had to wear it and I hated it. So, the transparent pink Hello Kitty console looks pretty good. I'm going to be talking about the Hello Kitty console in a bit. But for now, let's have some more music. A custom purple Dreamcast would be really cool. If I'm ever rich, I might commission one. Or maybe with the pearlescent paint similar to the Maziora Dreamcast. Alright then! Yeah, I actually got married in purple and gold because I am that much of a goth. Because sod getting married in white, right? Anyway, because of the Where's Shenmue track, I'm going to have a Shenmue OC remix. So from Blue Magic, is a track called A Breeze in the Night. And then from another OC remix, we've got from the Skies of Arcadia album Arcadia Legends. We've got from Glacial Spoon, Nervousness is Just Bravery Disguised. So I hope you enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the music break.
You're listening to Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music, 24/7.
I see.
Back, and that was Glacial Spoon. Nervousness is just bravery disguised, from the Arcadia Legend Skies of Arcadia OC Remix album. And then before that we had Blue Magic, A Breeze in the Night, from Shenmue, another OC Remix. Okay, so yeah, people are talking about my favourite colours and things, and I posted a picture of the outfit I got married in. People are saying how nice the colours are. Thank you very much, Eclipse and Sega, for being very nice about it. I was quite pleased with how the outfit turned out, actually. Now then, moving on to other different forms of the Dreamcast, from a rental console to a built-in console. The Divers 2000 CX1 Dreamcast is, it's a bit hard to describe, to be perfectly honest. It was designed as a joint project between CSK and Fuji TV, with approval from Sega, and the idea was to make a communication device for the year 2000. Sort of Skype before Skype existed, I guess. The result was a TV with a blue outer case that makes it look like a cross between an iMac and Sonic's head. It's got the back of it kind of like curves back until it reaches a point, making it from the side kind of look like Sonic's profile a bit. I'll post a link to a webpage in the chat so you can see what I mean. But yeah, it's a very odd looking thing. It came with a keyboard, a DreamEye webcam, as well as a Dreamcast controller and a remote control. On the top of the TV is a lid where the discs would be placed, and above the 14-inch screen you have four buttons across it, which have the functions of powering on the TV, changing the mode from the TV, composite and Dreamcast, as well as the remaining two buttons allow you to change channel and volume. Sadly, the mode button does not reliably change mode to the Dreamcast from TV mode, so you really need a remote in order to get the thing to work, especially if you actually want to play the Dreamcast that's built into it. So if you do ever manage to locate one and you have enough money to spend to buy one, make sure it comes with the remote. Below the screen you'll find four controller ports. On the sides of the TV you'll also find some LEDs which only operate in Dreamcast mode and will light up in relation to the audio from the game you're playing. Sadly, as the sides slope inwards, you're not very likely to really see these in action. Although I suppose it would tell you, be able to, people watching you would be able to see it. It's a bit of an odd feature. As far as I can tell, only 200 of these were ever sold, which is not too surprising considering it was being sold for four times the price of a standard Dreamcast, which on release was being sold for £200, meaning the Divers 2000 CX1 would have been sold at an eye-watering £800. And I dread to think how much these were going for on eBay. I haven't looked. I haven't dared. I was terrified enough by the Maziora thing. I didn't want to look at this. Because the price was that expensive on launch. There were only 200 of them sold. Yikes. Maybe there's a warehouse somewhere with like piles of them though. Who knows? Let's have some more music, shall we? And since it's called The Divers, I'm going to have some fun and play some things that are related to water. So from Echo Defender of the Future, we've got Hanging Waters. And then from one of my favourite Dreamcast puzzle games, Wetrix, the main theme from Wetrix 3, a Dreamcast version. So hope you enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break. Thank you.
listening to Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.
And that was the main theme from Wertrix, the Dreamcast version, which is also the same as the PC version, I think, accounting for differences in sound cards and so on. And before that we had Echo Defender of the Future, Hanging Waters, which is apparently one of Sega's favourite tracks. Sega was saying that some of the mastering on Defender of the Future is a little bit dodgy. It does clip in places. I really should run it and quite a lot of my other music through normalization and never seem to get around to it. It doesn't entirely fix the problem, but it helps a bit. Anyway, finally we have another odd crossover in terms of console sponsorship. As I said I would, it's talking about the Hello Kitty console. Coming in both a semi-translucent skeleton blue or pink variant, these consoles come with a Hello Kitty logo on the top and accessories that have a similar Hello Kitty logo on them as well. What you get with these consoles is the following: a VMU, keyboard and controller, all of which are in their respective translucent blue or pink colours, along with a Hello Kitty Dream Passport CD and a Hello Kitty Garden Panic game. This game, from what I can tell, sort of works like Battleships, wherein you position certain shapes on the board and the opponent has to try and guess where those shapes appear on the board while you do the same with theirs. Only it's garden themed instead of, you know, navy themed. Now, why are these consoles even made in the first place? Well, to target the female audience, apparently. It never works out the way they think it does, this. With the popularity of Hello Kitty from 1999, and still pretty popular now, let's be honest, and the necessity of Sega to make the Dreamcast as popular as they could after the disaster of the Saturn, They teamed up and released these versions in the year 2000. The game was only available with these consoles, and only 1,500 of each colour were made, making them pretty unique collector's item. I've seen one of the pink variants in CEX back when it was still Computer Exchange in London. The pink version wasn't my thing. I'd consider the blue one, though. Because, again, not a huge fan of pink, although the translucency makes up for a bit. But yeah, out of the consoles I've covered so far, I think I'd probably still have the Masiora. Because that paint job, though. What about you guys? Still stuck on your previous favourites, or is there something else that you would consider getting hold of? I think Electric Boogaloo had strong opinions on the Sega having the Sega Sport version. Does anyone own a unique Sega Dreamcast variant? And if you do, please tell us about it. Post some pictures on Twitter or the Facebook page. Show off a bit. Have you customised your Dreamcast? That would be pretty interesting to see. I don't just mean with stickers, I mean, yeah, really customise it. Anyway, let's have some more music then. So, from Hello Kitty Garden Panic, I've got something that's labelled as BGM04, so I don't know what the track's actually called, because this is the only version I can find. And then, from one adorable critter to another, Sonic from Sonic Adventure 2, we've got Chao Karate. So enjoy those, and I'll be back after the musical break for Chiptune Corner. We'll be right back. quite sure why that Chao Karate track ended that abruptly. That was odd. Anyway, that was Sonic Adventure 2 Chao Karate, and before that we had Hello Kitty Garden Panic, BGM number 4. So I hope you enjoyed those. We're talking about, because obviously the Dreamcast is a classic console and electronics tend to age, you do have a problem where sometimes things go wrong. Some of the more common faults with the Dreamcast are that the lens can get dirty. That's pretty easy to fix, as long as you can get to it, if you take a alcohol wipe to it and a microfiber cloth, you can usually clean it fairly well. Replacing the capacitors is also a good idea on any old electronics, because old capacitors can blow and leak and stop working properly. There are loads and loads of guides on YouTube on how to, very kind of step-by-step guides on how to replace capacitors. You can find kits online for pretty much any console that give you everything you need. The other problems that you tend to get where the laser gets misaligned or the joins to the controller ports go, that's a bit more tricky. I'd say that was a kind of like advanced skill, so you might need to track down a repair place to help you with that one. Another fairly common modification you get for the Dreamcast is replacing the battery pack with a lithium ion. Again, you can find that online. Again, it's quite an advanced skill. I mean, I'm probably going to do it, and I'm probably going to get my dad to help me because he's an electronics engineer. Because I know my way around a soldering iron, but I am not an expert. Now then, I'm going to loop the music before I run out of time. So, chiptune corner then. Panpadou is a French musician who is described as an artist who makes modern music on less-than-modern tools, primarily using a Game Boy for his compositions. Panpadou is a prolific artist, and much of their work can be found on SoundCloud, which I will link to in the chat in just a moment. He is also one of the artists that I am going to be seeing alongside BitShifter at the Steel City Chiptune event at Meltdown in 2 weeks' time, which is one of the reasons why I'm not available for most of the Saturdays of this month. Of course, I'm going to be watching chiptune artists. So, from Panpadou, here is Artifact, and I recommend checking out the other stuff that's available on their SoundCloud page. So, here is Panpadou with Artifact from the Chiptunes Equals Win Volume 5 album. Let me know what you think, and I will speak to you guys again after this musical break. we are back. And that was Pampadou Artifact from the Chiptune Equals Win Volume 5 album. So yeah, definitely check out their SoundCloud. They've got a lot of really, really good stuff. I'm so looking forward to their performance alongside BitShifter and other Chiptune bands at Meltdown. If you got any of you guys are interested in that, let me know and I will post you a link to that. It's in a couple of weeks. I think there are still some tickets available. Anyway, that's the end of the Hidden Palace show for this week. So thank you to everybody for tuning in, and thanks to everybody who's been in the Discord chat, and to everybody who is lurking, listening elsewhere, poking things via Twitter or Facebook. As usual, I'll be accepting requests for anything you want me to cover. You can contact me through the Radio Sega Facebook or Twitter, as well as the Radio Sega Discord, where you can find me. I am Skyblaze42, or just Skyblaze. Alternatively, you can contact me through Twitter, where my name is @BlazingSkies. I'm going to be sticking with the Sunday slot for the rest of this month, and possibly the first part of November, due to other commitments. But next week I plan to cover Sega roadshows, including the famous, or infamous, Sega Bus, which some of you who are of a certain age who live in the UK might know about. And I've also got plans for a Halloween episode, so I hope you will carry on tuning in for that one. And thanks to Electric Boogaloo, Serga, Eclipse, Rexy, if they're still hanging around, and anybody else who's been in the chat today. And thank you again to Grey4 for stepping in for me last week when I wasn't feeling very well. And I hope to see you guys again next week. One last track for tonight, from Soul Calibur Dreamcast version. We've got a tribute to those who shed red. I've been Skyblaze, this has been The Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Thank you so much for tuning in. Good night.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.